I want to share a few things here this morning that, you know, I am the type of person, and whether you know this about me or not, and there are many of you that I don't know very well, but I don't like saying the same things twice or preaching the same message twice, to be honest. I like to have fresh things, but every once in a while I feel the Lord reminding me that I need to say some things over again and to share some things, maybe even personally, that I've shared previously, but it might have been 10 years ago. And so today I want to do a little bit of that. So those who have known me for a long time, I think of the Harrises right here, you're gonna already know some of this, or if not all of it. So I apologize in advance, but there are some things also that I wanna share in here that even if you hear them many times, it is life-giving, and it is for me even as I'm thinking about what I'm gonna talk about today. And so I wanna go ahead and share a little bit about this. And I want to do it in a couple of ways. One is to share a little bit about my personal story, where I came from, how I'm here, and what God has done. But I also want to talk about some things that He's adjusted in me and helped to reveal to me, and the ways that He's changed me that have been, I would say, life-altering in my personal life. So just as a backdrop, my name is Matt. I grew up in Oregon, northeastern Oregon. If you've ever been out there, it's super isolated, middle of nowhere. My county that I grew up in is larger than some states in the United States, but it only has like 28,000 people. Super small town, hunting, fishing, farming, logging. That's basically the kind of community I grew up in. The closest town I grew up to within was 3 miles away to a town of 500 people. So my public high school that I went to had 76 students in it. My graduating class had 18. We played 8-man football. Were enough kids to play 11-man. And it was a great growing up life for me. My parents, godly people, met the Lord just denominationally. My great-grandfather on my dad's side met Jesus at an Amy Semple McPherson crusade back in the 1920s in Portland, Oregon. And then my great grandfather on my mom's side was a Baptist minister. And so I'm a fourth generation believer that has been passed down through generations. So I'm very, very privileged to have grown up in the home that I was and have the heritage that I have. Met the Lord when I was 7 years old. And it sounds funny, but I remember that moment because it was a Saturday morning in July in 1976 when I felt this huge conviction of my sin. Now, that may seem strange as a seven-year-old, but I really did feel it. I felt this weight of sin. And the weight of, I don't know what I'd done up to that point, but it doesn't matter, I was born with this nature. And I was weeding in the garden with my dad, and I just turned to him and just started to share with him how I was feeling, and he knelt in the dirt with me and explained to me some about Jesus, and I received Jesus into my heart in the dirt with my dad as a seven-year-old. And from there, I've always had just a heart for the Lord, a tender heart, one that pursued Him to the best of my ability. I grew up, although it was a wonderful home, you know, there's still a lot of religion, man-made religion that gets in a lot of church. If you guys have been in church throughout your lives, maybe you've experienced some of those same things, where you get a lot of traditions of men and things mixed in there that aren't necessarily from God. In fact, I felt like that much of my life, probably from about 25 onward, has been undoing a lot of the things that I had learned that weren't necessarily the way the Lord is. At the same time, God uses everything and was shaping me and honing me and leading me on this pathway. As I was in high school, my parents or my family never finished college. I was afraid to go to university. I didn't think I was smart enough. I took a safer path of electronics school because my dad is an electrician and moved to Phoenix, Arizona. And it was there that I met an 87-year-old man named Joe that became my, really my best friend during those 2 years. I was 18, he was 87. I used to go to his home and every week nearly and ask him questions. He would talk about seeing six angels at all times in his house. He had a relationship with God. Every time I went there, he was praying. And he had a joy and a light in his eyes and a prophetic gift. And he would tell me supernatural things, and I saw him pray for people, and they got healed. And it started to set me on a course of having a greater hunger and seeing God in a different way than I had seen previously. I then got recruited by the CIA, actually, Central Intelligence Agency, or Christians in Action, not really, but... and moved from Phoenix to Washington, D.C. I hadn't been to the East Coast other than when they flew me out for polygraph and all that fun stuff. Had hair to my shoulders, cowboy boots, and a bola tie. And if you're trying to imagine that right now, but I did. I got out there and I was the only dude dressed like that, looking like that, and realized I better spend my $25 at that point for a haircut and change a little bit of what I look like. It set me on a course in the agency. I really didn't know what I was getting into in many ways. It was, there wasn't any Jason Bourne or Tom Clancy, Jack Ryan, none of that stuff. There was just James Bond, and that wasn't, you know, that was completely different. So I really didn't know what I was in for. First day, they put me undercover. I didn't know that was going to happen. Gave me another name, and sent me to an undercover facility for a year and a half. And so they also scare you to death by sharing what happens to people who commit espionage and rat out their country. So you sign all these forms and you get these clearances. And anyway, so I got shipped away, went through this training. And I'm a believer during this whole, you know, my whole life from seven. And I'm trying to see how God is in this. I felt like he led me to this, but man, from there I got sent overseas. I lived overseas for 2 years, my first assignment in Asia, and it was an amazing experience. I felt like that I opened the book of Acts and jumped inside, to be honest. I had three lives going, my cover life, my real life, and then my church life. And I was single. I had two servants, actually, that I hired, imagine. I could really use them right now. My wife could really use that, especially when our kids are younger, but it's inexpensive to hire help when you're oftentimes, when you're in developing nations. My guy that I hired for, I paid more than anyone else who worked in the embassy there, and it was $80 a month for full-time help. Can you imagine? Made all my meals, had him clean the toilets every day, make my breakfast, lunch, and dinner, had it waiting in the oven when I got home. They're really nice. Anyway, that was... A time where I got to get involved with ministry in ways where God was moving in power. The first, my pastor at that time had planted 600 churches in his country and invited me along with him, and we ended up traveling the country together, planting things and ministering and speaking, and a lot of demons getting cast out and people getting healed, and it ruined me for anything of a Christian life that I had known previously that was real religious, I would say. And there was more head knowledge than heart or the Lord's power. And it ruined me in a good way. But I was having trouble juggling the lives that I was living and lying to my pastor. That was difficult too, about who I worked for. But that was a part of this journey. And I'm gonna fast forward, there's so many details that I'm not gonna go, I'm just giving you a kind of an overview. While I was overseas though, my heart really got larger, or I don't know exactly how to explain it. As I was with people from other nations in particular, my heart really went out to them. And I found myself wanting to be around people and to help people more than I was in my government job. And I didn't know what to do with that necessarily, but it just kept growing. So in the end, I resigned and got married. And I didn't want my wife involved with what I was doing either. So I resigned, got married, went to Bible school, moved to North Carolina. Went to Bible school in Charlotte. We went together for the first year. We got pregnant, first year of marriage. And then I kept going on. I got hired by a church, ended up pastoring the small groups within that church, and then that moved on to begin. I was their first pastor of that church, and then led their Bible school, did that for quite a few years. And while I was there, the Lord began putting on my heart to plant a church in Winston-Salem. So began taking steps to do that. That happened in 2001, the beginnings of it. We started with Friday night meetings and moved to Sunday services in 2002. And then soon after, started Hydrating Humanity, helping people in Africa with clean water and hygiene education and those type of things. So that gets us to today, basically. And five kids, too, forgot that. All these boys. And so during this journey of growing up around and in church my entire life, growing up around the Lord, reading the scriptures, and being in church all my life, you know, you get certain things and you believe certain ways, and then along the way, God gives you greater revelation, adjusts things, helps you in the way that you are growing, in the way that you believe. And so I want to share with you some of the things that I've discovered through my journey that have been helpful. And some of these are just going to be so basic that maybe some of you know all these already, and it's just like, yeah, that's how I've always believed. Well, that wasn't the way for me. And I've found, even as I am reminded of some of these, I'm just going to mention a handful, that it still is so refreshing to see the truth of what God is really like. You know, God doesn't change, but if we allow him, he will change us entirely. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But as we allow that same God to have his way with my heart and my mind, we will become different people. We're supposed to become entirely different people than who we used to be. Who you used to be when you were, before you met the Lord, for one, but when you were 10, the ways you thought, when you were 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, however, each decade there should be good size adjustment and change in things on the inside of us, or we are more and more like the Son of God. That's really one of the things the Holy Spirit does, is to change us, right? So that when we are breathing our last breath on this planet that God has for us, that he has done everything in us so that we are looking as much like his Son as possible and doing his will before we move on to the next, we graduate to the next thing that he has for us. And in my journey, there have been so many redefining of terms, of concepts, of ways that I thought. And primarily, I'm going to mention the biggest one right off the bat, and it has to do with the Father. As I grew up, my mindset, I don't know where this came from. I don't necessarily think it was a pastor teaching falsely, or I don't know where all this came from, but I had a view of the Father, God, that was really off. I saw him as harsh, not easy to please, probably angry a good amount of the time, and I had a fear that wasn't necessarily the fear of God, it was just fear that was not based in reality. It was detrimental to me. I remember one time one of my youth leaders said, you know, why don't you step out and give a prophetic word to somebody? And I was scared to death. There is no way I was doing that, because my mindset was that if I did that and it wasn't exactly right, God would blast me. I would get hurt some way. That was how I saw him. And so into my 30s, something began to change, and it's this. I started to read and see some things in the scripture. You know, the Holy Spirit is so good. If we will, one of the best things we can do is just as you're reading, say, Holy Spirit, you are the great teacher. Would you illuminate what is real in here to me? Would you change my mindset and let this become the way you intended it to be, not just through my filters? When we do that, he can do all kind of stuff. And I begin to read in Mark 1, verse 11, this passage, and we've got it here, says, and a voice, and this is when Jesus gets baptized, and a voice came out of the heavens, and it's the Father, and he says, you are my beloved Son, and in you I am well pleased. Which everybody who's a believer has read that and kind of seen that. But when I was reading it this day, I realized the point in which the Father spoke this for everyone to hear. It echoed, it was audible, going across the landscape. And the point was this, it was at the point of Jesus's life where the only record we have of what he has done up to that point is scare his mom to death. When he stayed behind when he was 12 years old in Jerusalem. That's it. He has called no disciples yet. He's not changed water to wine. He's not done one miracle. He's not raised anybody from the dead. He's not done one thing that would be worthy of merit or of the Father breaking in to speak audibly that this is my boy. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He's well pleased and he's super loving toward this Jesus, his Son. And it was before he had done anything worthy of merit in my mind. And when I read that, it's like I realized most of us and myself had I had a striving inside of me to try to be pleasing to God, hoping that in the end he would be happy in some way, but not knowing all along the way how he felt. Is he angry? Is he happy? Is he ambivalent? Is he upset? Is he, you know, wish he hadn't made me? I don't know. Here, Jesus hears how much his Father loves him and is pleasing to him, and from that moment, he begins ministry. And everything began to make sense to me that Jesus could fulfill the will of his Father because he was living in the love of his Father. He wasn't living to be pleasing in the end, hopefully, but not sure. He knew he was, and so he could live in that love and function every day. He could approach his Father daily. He could slip away, as it says in Luke 5. He could slip away often and be with his Father, and he wasn't afraid of him. He had a relationship with his Father where he saw his Father's love. In fact, part of the mission of Jesus was to reveal what his Father was really like. And he did in incredible ways. In fact, if you see in John 17, 26, I'm going to read this in the Passion, it says, this is his last words of his last prayer before he's crucified. To me, there's an importance on there, but he says this. He's in a prayer, I have revealed to them who you are. This was his mission. And I will continue to make you even more real to them so that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. For your love will now live in them even as I live in them. That passage is mind-blowing and earth-shaking to me. Jesus is saying, I want everyone to feel this endless love that you have for me. I want them to feel it the same way that I feel it from you. He wants us to see him the way that he really is. The Father who is love. It says God is love in 1 John 4. It's what he's made of. If you touch God, you're touching love. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. It wasn't because he was furious with this fallen, broken, messed up people that he had to do this. No, it's because he loved, came out of him. I'd never seen the Father as love. I'd just seen the Father as not too happy. Jesus comes in between to keep him from burning us up when nothing could be further from the truth. The Father sent his Son out of love. So he's a loving Father. Wait a minute. I didn't know that. It started to shift things on the inside of me. That lens began to change in me so that I could approach him, as Paul says, to come boldly before the throne of grace because he loves me. Not just because of Jesus, he loves me because he made me. We're his kids. And yes, Jesus had that adds a whole lot as well, but he loves me even apart from that. He loved the world so much that he sent Jesus. I was the world. And I realized that my success, as well as your success and well-being, is really dependent upon knowing who he is and who you are in him. Knowing who I am in him is super important. Jesus knew it, fulfilled his purpose. As I know the Father in the way that he really is, I will fulfill my purpose, and so will you. This is a big shift. And this has changed, it has altered the way I live. It's altered the way that I pray. It's altered the way that I think daily. And I'm so very, very grateful. One of the other major, and I'm gonna keep moving here, is related to the Holy Spirit. I grew up in a home, believed in the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But in many ways, to me, he was a little bit more like a wisp of vapor, a blowing breeze somewhere, not necessarily a God, not really a person that you interact with, even though it says in the scriptures that our fellowship is with the Holy Spirit. Our fellowship is with the Holy Spirit. There's a fellowship there. He is God living inside of me. Living inside of me, empowering me to do his will, revealing truth to me, revealing Jesus to me, revealing the Father to me. He does all of those things. And then the gifts are, usually you talk about the Holy Spirit, many people just think, okay, speaking in tongues, And that is like the sum total of the Holy Spirit. It's like, what? That's craziness. That's craziness. The Holy Spirit was the part the purpose of Jesus coming here. And he said that because if I go away, I'm gonna send him to you. And even after he said it's finished, his work here was, but then his work in heaven wasn't. He had to go back to heaven, and then he sent the Holy Spirit. Been waiting for thousands of years for the Holy Spirit to come to the earth. Jesus sent him so that he could invade this flesh, your flesh, our bodies, and change us to function and live like Jesus. I didn't know that. That's a whole lot different than a wisp or a goosebump. This is a living God who lives on the inside, who loves me, and has empowered me and given me the greatest gift, himself, to live on the inside so that I can begin to change. Man, that was a big altering moment for me when I begin to see that. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says this, and this is, again, a bit mind-blowing, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. That's heavy. That's beautiful. The context of this, previously, Paul's talking about don't join your bodies with prostitutes. Don't commit fornication. Don't just have sex with everybody because you're becoming one with that person. But he says, when you join your spirit with God, you become one with God. We can invite his spirit into us. We become one with God. Now that's deep. There's a lot in there. And this Holy Spirit, this person, this amazing God, wants to fulfill his purpose on the earth through each one of us by his spirit. Who has power, who has all the power that's needed to do whatever is needed in each of our lives. And then the next one that was big for me was discovering who I am. Because you don't really know who you are until your lens is corrected as to who he is. So he started working on who he is to me so that I could then see who I am to him. And who I am to myself. And once this shift started happening with the Father, and shift started happening with who the Holy Spirit is, I felt like I had a decent grasp on Jesus. Then I start looking at myself completely different. And I haven't been, even though I've done and experienced a lot of things, God has given me amazing experiences around the world. I'm so thankful. At the same time, it wasn't until I was in my 40s after getting this revelation that I began to be comfortable in my own skin. And that's embarrassing to even say. But I feel like I'm just less than 10 years in on being comfortable with who he made me to be, because I've compared myself with other people for a long time. And the highlights in my life have often been my deficiencies, the things I don't like about myself, and then there's a lack of confidence. And lack of confidence is, in my book, it's really almost like a sin. Because of who God is and what he's done for me, we should have full confidence in who he is in us so that we can be who he wants us to be. But I lacked confidence for a long, long time. My wife had to introduce herself to me. I made a way to get to her, but I just stood there. I didn't know what to do. I was like, I'm not good at this. I don't know what a pickup line is. I have no clue how to enter this. I just know how to get in the right location. That was it. She had introduced herself to me. I lacked confidence. God had grace on me. He just helped me. He just helped me all the way. You know, this is really true. God will keep you from making huge mistakes as you just trust him and live in his love. Even if you blow it, he's going to make that work somehow. What if we lived that way? What if we lived in love so much that we felt as though we couldn't even blow it all the way? We couldn't even make the biggest mistake because I'm just going to live in love with him and do what he tells me to do to the best of my ability. I'm going to mess things up, but I'm going to get there. That is freedom. That is anti-religion. And I've been in that process of God making me more that type of a person. I got a ways to go. But I'm getting there in that. And I realize that I am a lot of things, former this employee, I'm a pastor, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a leader, all those things. But I realize that all those titles aren't who I am. That the greatest title, the greatest appellation on the planet is a child of God. A son or a daughter, that is your highest title. That is the one that means the most and it is your real identity. I am a child of God. If you've been born again, you're his, you're in the family, and he calls you an heir with his son, Jesus. A joint heir. A child that has full access to the Father. He's sitting on the throne and you can go in there any time. Doesn't matter what meeting he's in. You have full, because you're a child. Of his, owned by him, purchased with his spirit on the inside. And if I really know that and believe it, that I'm first his son or his daughter, then I'm not striving to be somebody. I'm already in. He already loves me. He's already pleased with me. In the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. I'm not striving to get something. You can be in a room and of people who don't know each other and you can feel the trying to show that I'm something. Thing that can go on. You guys ever been in those situations? People trying to, look at me. I'm somebody. All those kind of things. When you realize that you're a son of God and we have that revelation, and Paul talks about it being really a revelation, that your spirit begins to cry out, oh, Father, oh my goodness, I am your son. When that revelation hits, it doesn't matter what your title is. You can be in any room and nobody pay one bit of attention to you and you're just happy as a clam. because of who you know you are. Of who you know you are. I remember there are moments when I would be on an assignment when I was in the CIA, and they'd give me an assignment. I never turned one down because it was exciting to me. But they'd give me an assignment, tell me where I'm going, then you go and you get your airplane tickets and you do all this stuff and you got this mission. It might be a week, 2 weeks, a month, whatever. And you get on the airplane and you're headed somewhere and you're undercover, and so someone sitting next to you says, you know, what do you do for a living? And I have to tell a story that's not nearly as cool as what I really am doing. But deep down inside, I knew I'm really on something cool. So I don't mind telling you that I am less than, it's okay. And that's how we all need to feel at all times. What do you do? Well, you could say, well, I'm this or that, I work over there, but really on the inside you're going, I'm a son of God, actually. Actually, I'm a child of God. Actually, I don't care what you think of me, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. I know who I am, and I'm on a mission here on this planet. I get so many years, and I'm fulfilling the purpose of my Father. If you know that, and I know that, life is completely different. There's no comparing. There's no looking in the mirror going, oh, geez. It's He's in me. He's in me. Behind those eyes is the Spirit of the living God. I'm a son. I'm a son of God. I'm telling you, if the revelation of the Father isn't there, if the revelation of who you are isn't there, we are chasing our tails. We're going in circles. We're trying to get something from someone else that they can't give. Even from our spouse. If we don't have that revelation, then we're trying to get something out of our spouse that they can't give. And that's going to drive them crazy. We can only get those things in Him. But when that revelation comes, we can be like Jesus. We can live like Him. We can have His peace. We can have His joy. In Him is joy, and joy is strength. His strength on the inside of us. Romans 8, 15, I'm gonna read this out of the Message. I like all these different translations that highlight things a little bit differently. It helps us understand within our culture of what was intended. It says this, "This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life." Oh my goodness, what a great way to say that. It is not a timid, grave-tending life. We're not watching over the dead. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us. Here's what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with Him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with Him as well. Isn't that beautiful? It's an adventure full of joy and hope. If hope is gone, we're believing a lie. Because He's the God of all hope who lives on the inside of us. So I started to discover who I am. This is part of my journey. Discovering who He is, then discovering who I am. And then what does He want from me? That's the next part in my life here. Not just doing good things. Here's what He's looking for. He was looking for this in the disciples too. He's looking for us to believe in Him. Belief isn't talked about as much anymore. Faith, those kind of things. So many things are nowadays just, you know, whatever you think. You know, just, you know, if you think, if that fits your, you know, that works for you, then great. That's not how Jesus spoke. That's not how He wants us to behave. He laid it out so clearly, and He said it over and over, related to salvation and many things. Believe in Me. Believe in Me. He even said this, if you believe in Me, the same things I do, you're gonna do as well. And even greater things than I do, because I'm going to the Father, meaning I'm gonna send the Holy Spirit to live inside of you to help you do those things. to accept him. That's what I can do. To live in him. Jesus invited us in John 15 to abide in him. So my job is to believe in him, believe who he is, what he says, what he does, and what he gives. To abide in him, that means to remain and not leave. That means I'm in him all the time, not on Sundays only. I'm in him Monday morning, Wednesday at 11 p.m. All times, I'm in him. I choose to either stay in him or get away. But I can choose to abide in him at all times. That's an invitation. So I can live that life inside with him, one with his spirit, in Jesus, in Christ. Where I go, he goes. You ever thought about that? You can go anywhere in the world, and you don't have to wonder if God is there, because you're there. If you're there, he's there, because he lives on the inside of you. Any situation, I wonder where God went. He went in you. He came on the inside, lives there. Wherever you go, he's there. Any situation, he has the answers. He has the power. Right there, and what he's asking for is for me to believe him, to believe that that is true. That's not easy to believe, because I have these feelings that keep getting in the way. I have these feelings like I'm separate from him. I have these feelings that he's not quite sure. Our battle every day at different points is to believe the truth and kick out the false ways that we think. And to not subject ourselves to our feelings, because they lie. They lie. Anything that makes you feel that you're separate from God is a lie. Anything that makes you feel less a Christian today than you were yesterday is a lie. Right? We have to get ruthless with those things. If we're not, then I will be deceived. I won't believe as much. My believing shrinks. My job is to believe, and it's to love. I mentioned that the Father is love. And then he gives us, Jesus says, I give you a brand new commandment. Brand new, here it is. And he says of himself, I'm fulfilling all of the law and the prophets. Here's your new commandment, love your neighbor just as much as you love yourself. Here's the commandment, to love. So we're here to believe in him, and then to love others based on my belief in him and being one with him, so that wherever I am, I can love other people. And I can love him in the way that he loves his Father. I can have that love bubbling up in me. So love is the action, and it has power. Love never fails, it says. There's nothing else on the planet that is a substance of any kind or anything that's not gonna fail sometimes, other than love. Love just, it's always going to have fruitfulness. It's always going to produce something good. And we live in love and trust him and believe in him. Amazing things will happen through our lives. It is the greatest weapon. And then lastly, and I'll end this here, I've realized on my journey, I've discovered that God does everything through relationships. Relationship is what he's about. Not just a list, not a law, not doing everything that he's made is in relationship. Even the universe itself is related to other portions and parts within the universe. Spinning around this galaxy, I always talk about the sun and the moon and the earth. They work together. They're working together. When it comes to any friendship or marriage, everything is about relation. God made it. Even the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, it's relational. It's a family. He's all about relationships. And I didn't know that for a long, long time. I was much more of I'm good at lists and checking things off. And God is about relationship. He's about people. He's about communion and communication and love. That's what it is. And to the degree that I get off from that over into something else, even if it's supposedly theologically super sound, it can be the enemy of what God is trying to do. And that's what the Pharisees did, right? They thought they were super sound theologically. They had it figured out. They even had the robes. They even had the phylacteries and the things on mounted on their head with the Word of God inside. They were getting as close to the Word as they possibly can and missed the Son of God standing in front of them. Coming in love. He didn't come in the package that they wanted. And I found that God is changing me to see things differently, to see people differently, to have different lenses. Not lenses of theology, lenses of love. If I have a lens of theology, then I'm going to not be as happy with a lot of people as I am with other people. Through God's lens, completely different. He looks at everybody through love. And man, then it makes a huge difference. So there's a bit of my discovery along my journey and path. And I am believing God is continuing to change me and to change you so that we can be fully alive in every way, awakened all of the way, as the earth is groaning and waiting for the sons and daughters of God, it says, right? To rise up, to know who they are, to function in that way. So let me pray for you as we go. Lord, thank you for your words and your ways. Thank you that you are actively involved in our lives. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you live inside of us. And I just want to, we just say to anyone else in here, Lord, we ask you to change us. We ask you, as we were even singing about today, as Ben was singing about that, change every bit of our hearts. Lord, that you would adjust the things in us that are an enemy of truth and your reality and of the kingdom. And may we live daily in you, believing you, receiving you, loving others, loving you. Thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. Thank you for the simplicity of the way you've made things, though you know all things and you're omniscient. Thank you for the simplicity that we all get to live in and walk in. Lord, I ask that you'd free us all from fear, except the fear of God, which is that love of you and that hatred of evil. Lord, I pray that you would deliver us from lack of confidence and give us great confidence in who you are in us. Lord, I pray we would be bold as lions in you, not in our own strength, but in who you are. Lord, I pray that we would all see ourselves as with the highest title of anyone else on the planet by far. We get to be called daughter of God, son of God. We get to know you. We get to zip right in there before the throne, jump on Papa's lap anytime we want to. Thank you for joy that lives inside. Lord, I bless every single one of us. Lord, I pray that they would have not only a great week ahead, but the rest of the summer would be amazing. I pray for your joy to be their strength, that your hope to rise up stronger than ever. And may our belief increase in you. Just as the disciples said, Lord, help our unbelief. Lord, we're asking for that you would ditch our unbelief and grow our belief in you. Let faith arise on the inside of all of us in Jesus' powerful, wonderful, strong, beautiful name. Amen. 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 Bless you guys. Hey, we have ministry teams down front here. If you'd like to receive ministry, if you'd like to have someone pray for you, if you're going through something, if you need healing for your body, whatever it is, come and get some prayer. Believe Jesus is going to touch you. Have an awesome week.